Okay, for our last meeting together for the summer, I felt it would be appropriate to end off with the Midah that is the Midah of all Midahs, and that is V'haftarecha Kamocha. As we know, Rabbi Kiva tells us that Klal Gadol B'Torah, and to kind of see what the Torah has to say, what Chazal say, what the Poskim say about this very special mitzvah of Haftarecha Kamocha in Halacha. So this is a Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, V'haftarecha Kamocha, you should love your Reyecha. We'll have to define that later on. Kamocha, as you love yourself. The Sifra, which is cited by Rashi in that Pasuk, says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ze Klal Gadol Batorah. And that idea is often misunderstood. People think that Ze Klal Gadol Batorah means it's the most important mitzvah of the Torah. But that's not what it means. Ze Klal Gadol Batorah means it is the most encompassing mitzvah in the Torah. It is the mitzvah in the Torah that touches upon most of what we do. Many things that we do can fall under the umbrella, the rubric of V'haftarecha Kamocha. This is brought out by a famous story that we're all familiar with, involving Shammai and Hillel and the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. I'll tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shuv Ma'isa B'Nachri Echad Shubba Lefnei Shammai. There was a non-Jew who came before Shammai, Amar Lo, and he said, Gayarni, I want you to convert me, Amanas, Shetil Medeni Kol HaTorah Kula, Kishani Omed Al Regal Achas. You should teach from the Torah, the entire Torah, as I stand on one foot. What did Shammai do? Dachvo be'emas ha'binyan shibyado. He chased the guy out with his builder's measure, with his ruler, and he said, this is crazy, you're bothering me, wasting my time, you're making a joke of everything, get out of here. Ba'al lefnei Hillel. So he came before Hillel. Gayara, and he said, convert me. Amar lo, da'al chasani l'chaver chalo savid. That which is hateful to your friend, you shall not do. Zuhi kol ha-Torah kula. The same thing as Rabbi Akiva. This is the entirety of Torah. V'idach perushahu zil gemor. The rest of the Torah is just commentary on that idea. The rest is just explaining. The whole Torah is essentially explaining the idea of V'haftarecha kamocha. Go and learn. And we'll explain that idea, what he means the rest of the Torah, in a moment. Rav Chaim Vital, the famous, prominent Talmud of the Arizal, writes in the Shari Kedusha that we all know the Gemara in Yumad Daftes, that Ba'yishen, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. And he explains that when you hate another person, it's a violation of V'yahavterecha Kamocha. It's a bittel. You're being mevatel. You're negligent in the mitzvah of V'yahavterecha Kamocha. And then he writes, V'lo zacha Moshe l'kol ma'alosav. Moshe Rabbeinu only merited that which he attained, Elishaya Oev Yisrael Umitzar Bitsarasam, because he was a great lover of the Jewish people. Moshe never would have become Moshe Rabbeinu if he did not begin with the foundation of V'yahavtel Recha Kamocha. And he sees from the fact that it says Vayar B'Sivlosa, Moshe went out and he saw the Jewish people in pain. We know from all the different times that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for the Jewish people when they needed him and they needed Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showing us that everything Moshe Kamas came from V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. And there is a similar and striking statement in the name of Rav Chaim V'Lajan. Rav Chaim V'Lajan's major work is the Nefesh HaChaim, which is a four-piece essay on the importance of Talmud Torah. The first chapter is about how our actions affect what goes on in the spiritual realm. The second chapter deals with the role of tefillah and our actions affect through tefillah. The third talks about other types of mitzvos and is some aspects is a critique of Chassidus of his day. And then the fourth, final chapter is the major essay on the importance of Talmud Torah being the primary form of Avodas Hashem. So in the introduction to Nefesh HaChaim, the Nefesh HaChaim wasn't printed in Rav Chaim V'Lajan's lifetime. The manuscript was in waiting, and it was printed by his son, Rav Yitzchak of V'Lajan, Rav Itzel of V'Lajan, who took over his father's yeshiva after he passed away. So listen to the introduction, listen to this very sharp line that he writes in the name of his father. My father, Rav Chaim V'Lajan, would regularly rebuke me, or, you know, give me mussar. Al Shirash Einedi Mishtatef Bitsara Dachrina, because he saw that I was not sufficiently involved in the pain and the suffering of other people. V'kohaya Dibro Alai Tamid, and he would constantly say the following to me: Shizeh Kol HaAdam, the entirety of being a human being, Lo Latzmo Nivra, you are not created for yourself. That is the first most important principle, says Reb Chaim Volozhin. You are not here for yourself. Rak lahoil achrini. You are only here in this world to help other people. Kechol sheyimatze bekochel asos. And whatever extent you're able to do. That is the entire purpose of your being. To help other people out. Ve'ahavta v'reacha kamocha. This is Reb Chaim Volozhin, reported by his son. This is a man who started the yeshiva movement, started the yeshiva world as we know it in its form, who is totally dedicated to Talmud Torah in every form to its greatest extent. And nevertheless, he said, as important as Torah is, the entire purpose of being in this world is to help other people out. That is it. V'ahavtarecha kamocha. Now, does this mean that a person has to have ahava mamish? Does a person literally have to feel inside of themselves a deep-seated love for every single person? Or does it mean that your actions have to reflect that? Meaning, let's say I act in a way that shows I love people, but deep down inside, I'm not such a fan of that person. Do I still fulfill v'ahavtarecha kamocha? Is it an emotional intelligence we're looking for over here? Or is it all about actions at the end of the day? If you do something nice for your friend, then that action is v'ahavtarecha kamocha. If you see or hear something like this, then we'll have to discuss. So comes Rav Dessler in the Mechta Maliyahu in Chela Gimel Amdaf Peches, and he says, the mitzvah is to remove all jealousy from your heart, and to truly desire all good things for another person. It is not sufficient in actions. It is mostly based in one's mind and one's heart. And this is an expression of the Shita of the Ramban. If you look at the Ramban on this pasuk, he has a long piece, and he's essentially saying the same idea. It is the way one must feel about another person. Listen to the Mesil Sushar Perak Yid Aleph. Al-Kain ba ha-Torah v'klala klal sha-kol nichlal ba. The Torah came to give us a rule that all other rules fall under. V'yahavtarecha kamocha. Kamocha. Beli shum hefresh. The person should be like you with no difference. The person should not be treated any differently than you would want to treat yourself. Kamocha, beli chilukim, without any differences. Beli tachbulos umezimos, without any other types of, you know, ways to get around or any type of shortcuts. Everyone should be treated the same way. Kamocha mamish, says Rav Moshe Chaim Lozato. Kamocha mamish. That's how we have to address every person. The Yisod of Shorash HaAvoda was Rav Alexander Ziskind. He was contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. He lived a fascinating life. He lived a life in which he met all different types of people, was involved in a number of different important events in Jewish history, but he was kind of always in the background. So he wrote a sefer about working on one's pnimius, developing one's inner essence when it comes to tefillah and mitzvos. And he goes through the siddur, and he brings out what a person's deeper kavanah should be at every point throughout the siddur. So Rav Alexander Ziskind lived in the days of the Gra, so you may be familiar with the story of the Graf Patutsky, which was a Ger Tzedek, Avram Ger Tzedek, who lived in the time of the Vilna Gaon. He was came from a Christian Polish noble family, and he converted to Judaism. He had to go into hiding because they were out searching for him. And the legend is told that the Vilna Gaon had the ability to get him out of jail and to free him until he should run away. And he decided, this young man, this Ger, who converted from this Polish family, after he was caught, said he didn't want to be freed because he wanted to fill the mitzvah of B'chol Levavchem and B'chol Nafshchem. He wanted to die al Kiddush Hashem. Well, that decision is for another time, but this is the story told about him. The rule was made that when this Ger Tzedek was to be burnt at the stake, so no Jews were allowed to come. No Jews were allowed to come and witness it. And Rav Alexander Ziskind dressed up, and he went to witness it, because he wanted to see what it was to see a Jew dying on Kiddush Hashem. And he wanted to be there and testifying to see that moment, that he could tell people that he saw with his own eyes. It was a extremely kadosh, very sensitive tahor, a tremendous tzaddik. Listen to what he writes regarding this mitzvah. He says that this mitzvah can be performed at any moment in time. You can fill v'ahavtarecha kamocha in thought or with action. If you do something nice for another person, You go and help him with the groceries, whatever it is you do. So that is considered v'haftarecha kamocha. And then he says also, if you hear or see your friend succeed in any way, and you feel good about their success, you're not jealous about their new house, they're not jealous about the promotion, not jealous about, you know, what happened to their kids got married, college, whatever it is. So that is also a feeling of v'haftarecha kamocha. And then he says, to the extent that you can fulfill the mitzvah of v'haftarecha kamocha, even while in the bathroom. If you're sitting in the bathroom in a place that's generally mitunaf, unclean, where you cannot perform mitzvos, he says if you want to perform mitzvos in the bathroom, it can be done with v'yahasurecha kamocha. If you think nice things about other people, it is a mitzvah that can be performed even in the bathroom. Probably the only mitzvah that one could fulfill, he says, v'yahasurecha kamocha. There's a discussion about other types of mitzvos in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. There's a discussion whether you can fulfill shevisi Hashem l'negdei tamid, that Hashem is before you at all times. Can you think that in the bathroom? That's not for right now. But here it says, Yesod v'shor shavoda, you can fulfill the v'yahasurecha kamocha even in such a location. Writes the Chafetz Chaim in the Zechor Lemiriam, u'v'derech remez nucha levar bezes hakos v'yahasurecha kamocha, ani Hashem. The end of the pasuk we forget is, you should love each person as you love yourself. Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem. Ratzal lomar, im tia oiv l'recha kamocha, as ani Hashem besochacham. If you love other people like you love yourself, Hashem will come and rest with you, and Hashem will be part of your life. So that is the general hashkaf about the importance in the realm of v'yahasurecha kamocha. Who does it apply to? Does it not apply to someone? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos in Perek Vav, mitzvah al kol adam lehov, it is a mitzvah on every single person to love, kol echad v'echad, every single person, mi Yisrael, who is a Jew, kegufo, with his own body, as he loves his own body, shenamar v'haftarecha kamocha, without any qualifications. The Moshe of Zakenim, the Bali Atosos, Rashi's grandchildren and great-grandchildren, so they write in their Perush on the Torah, in this Pasuk, that it refers to one's wife. The Reyacha is one's wife. You have to love your wife like they love themselves, right? We say by the Sheva Brachos, Reyim Ahuvim, that they are Reyim Ahuvim, their beloved friends, and therefore this is important as well. And they also note that the atbash is when you take the last letters of the aleph, you flip it back and forth, the aleph and the tuf, the beis and the shin. So he says that the atbash of reyacha in gematria is ha'isha. So if you have to love reyacha kamocha, you have to love your wife as you love yourself. The Gemara Yevamo says, ohe v'sisho kegufo, you should love your wife like your own self, v'hamechab de yos megufo, and honor her more than you would honor your own person. So that is another inclusion as well. The Chayadam writes in Klal Samachay, Rav Avram Danzig says that it's obvious that you have to love your parents, kegufo, as well, and your parents are also under the mitzvah of v'yahasurecha kamocha. Sometimes children forget that. They forget that they're also human beings and they deserve, you know, respect, basic covered as well. Forget about, you know, kibud avim and a higher level of respect. Sometimes children forget that even their parents should be given v'yahasurecha kamocha as well. So says the Chayadam, don't forget, your parents also deserve v'yahasurecha kamocha.
Is that a separate mitzvah as far as kibud avim?
Yeah, it's above that. Meaning there's an even more intense level. As Rosh Hashanah likes to point out, that kavod and yira means kavod squared. It's a more intense form of kavod. It's a more demanding form of honor that we have to give our parents. Now, the more sensitive question is there a mitzvah of haftarecha kamocha for a non-Jew? So here we have a machlokas. Rav Chaim Vital writes in the Shari Kedusha, V'yahav es kula habrios afilu gayim. You have to love all people with the level of v'haftarecha kamocha, even gayim. However, this isn't really a proof, because the mitzvah v'haftarecha kamocha may not apply to a guy, and Rav Chaim Vital is speaking the level of midas chasidus, meaning an even higher level. You have to go above and beyond. So that's not necessarily a proof. The Sefer HaBris writes that whenever Chazal want to exclude a non-Jew from a mitzvah, they write, because the word reyacha, they'll tell us. So for example, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Not only are we not allowed to take or charge a Jew for ribis, for interest, but there's a mitzvah to charge a non-Jew interest and to involve interest with him. Now, why? Because it says, reyacha, by a Jew. It says amecha by a Jew. So Chazal come and tell us, that comes to exclude that, the prohibition of lending with ribis doesn't apply to non-Jews. The prohibition of nekama, of taking revenge, technically, Chazal say, the issur is only between a Jew and a non-Jew, not between a Jew and a Jew, not between a Jew and a non-Jew. So says the Sefer HaBris, it would come out that since Chazal explicitly said those places, non-Jews are excluded from the mitzvah, but we find nowhere in Chazal where it excludes Jews, non-Jews, when it comes to v'hafta chakamocha. So since Chazal seemed to be silent, it would imply that the mitzvah v'hafta chakamocha would apply to non-Jews as well. Yeah.
So why would it be? So it applies to non-Jews, but yet you can charge them interest. And
yeah.
Why would it be a mitzvah to charge them interest? Just because it says.
Good.
You can do it, but why is it a mitzvah?
Good. Because the Maharal writes in a number of places, he writes in this Pasuk and the Gur Ari and other places as well, the Maharal says that it's all backwards, because really, it's normal to charge interest. It's normal business practice to charge people interest. It's a normal thing to do. Banks do it all the time. That's the baseline. Charging interest is a normal, okay practice that exists throughout the world. Economies can't exist without charging people interest. It's just a normal thing to do. The chiddush is that by Jews we don't do it. Meaning that's against the norm. Says the Maharal, why? Because a Jew is your brother. A Jewish person is your brother and sister. And if your brother and sister came to ask you for money, we would hope, in most cases, you wouldn't charge your mom and dad interest. We would hope. Again, there may be exceptions to the rule, whatever it is, but on a baseline, you know, your sister comes to you and says, you know, I don't have money for the movie theater, can you lend me $15 for a ticket? You're like, okay, well, you know, at the end of the week, I expect, you know, $20 back. It's a little cruel. It's your sister. So the Maharal says, because we are brothers with one another, the Torah says you have to go above and beyond and not charge interest, because that's a cruel thing to do to your sibling. So the Maharal says, so here when it comes to a guy, we have to show that Jews are closer, that Jews are your brethren, your brother and sister, and therefore to go and to make the differentiation. Again, if you don't charge interest to a non-Jew, then by all means, I guess that's good for you, but it seems to be a poor business practice, but you don't have to. But if you do, you're distinguishing between the brotherly and sisterly connections between a Jew and Jew versus the rest of the world. However, the Rambam, as we saw before, writes in Hilchos Deis, and again in Hilchos Avel, that Bein Mitzvos Bein Al Mechavero, like Levayis Hameis, burying the dead, Hachnasas Kala, certainly you can go, and it's a very nice thing, Amidas Chasidus, to go and help the burial of a non-Jew, to go and fulfill the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala by a non-Jew, I guess however that manifests itself. But at the end of the day, he says, the mitzvah, the demand of Yehatra Chakamocha, is only between Jews. In addition, the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim in Sanhedrin, says Reyecha always means a Yisrael. This is the understanding of the Magen Mishnah on the Rambam and Hilchos Schiras. The Sefer Achinuch says the same thing. The Smag, Ruchan Kanievsky, and other Sfarim as well. There's a very big Chiddush from the Torah Temima. We quoted him a while ago, the Baal Torah Temima, the author of the Torah Temima, is the son of the Aruch HaShulchan. So Rav Baruch Epstein writes in his Baruch Shamar, which is a parish on Pirkei Avos, he says that only applied to non-Jews in the past who acted improperly towards the Jewish people. That was an old thing back then. He says, but nowadays it doesn't apply. There's a mitzvah to Chakamocha. That's a very novel approach. There's really nothing to back that up, but that's his understanding. There's a middle ground. The Achiezer, Rechai Moser Grzensky, was the Gadol Ador before the World War II, so he writes in his Tshuvas and Chela Gimel that Re'echa only excludes a non-Jew when it's unnecessary in the Pasuk. That's his rule. How do I know? When the Torah says, this applies to Amecha, this applies to Re'echa, this applies to these groups of people, how do I know when Amecha and Re'echa include Jews or doesn't include Jews? It's confusing because sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. So Rav Chaim Ozer says, when the Pasuk is extraneous and it didn't need to use that expression, didn't need to use Re'echa or Amecha, then it comes to exclude non-Jews. But when the Pasuk wouldn't have made any sense without using the word Re'echa or Amecha, then he says, it doesn't mean to exclude Jews or non-Jews. So then one would have to distinguish here when it says, V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, could you read the pasuk without the word reyacha? If you said v'yahavta kamocha, it wouldn't have made any sense. So it's not really extraneous, but that's kind of like a middle ground of trying to know how to apply it as well. This is repeated in other Sfarim as well. Now, there's just a nafkamina, the Pischei Olam, which is a sefer on Shulchan Aruch. So what's the status of an Eved Kanani? This is usually an idea in Lamdus. In learning Gemara, you have a non-Jewish slave. Not a Jewish slave, but a non-Jewish slave. So what is there? Mitzvah Hashreich HaKamocha there as well, because a non-Jewish slave is technically chayiv in some mitzvos, but at the same time, he can't marry into the Jewish people. So the Prima Gadim has a whole discussion. The question is, could you fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos by sending to a non-Jewish slave? Because by Mishloach Manos it says, Ish L'Reyehu. So he wants to know, is Reyehu include in Eved Kanani, and he has a whole discussion or not. Certainly, we shouldn't forget three very important people on the list. Sometimes we forget, V'hashreich HaKamocha also applies to children. Children also deserve respect and deserve to be spoken to properly and nicely, not spoken down to with sarcasm. And therefore, we shouldn't forget that children also are due V'hashreich HaKamocha. We also should not forget that Rebbeim deserve V'hashreich HaKamocha. Rabbis also deserve V'hashreich HaKamocha. You know, a person would obviously, I'm sure your rabbi is happy to take your shilas and to deal with any issues come up. But, you know, he also wants, you know, you would expect also, you know, time for you and your family, and you would expect him to have time for him and his family, and to have time, you know, their own personal space, and therefore, just as you would want for yourself, you should also ask for the rabbi as well. The most important, though, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, on that Gemara in Shabbos, about Hillel and the Ger, and Al Regel Achas on one foot, so listen to what he says. Because what's the problem? Hillel said, "Da'al sani lechavercha lo savid." That which is hateful to your friend, you shouldn't. That which is hateful to you, you shouldn't do your friend, right? And then Hillel says, "That's kol haTorah. The rest is perusha. The rest is a commentary. Go and learn." So says Rashi, "What do you mean? Waving lulav and esrog, Shabbos. What does that do with halchrecha kamocha? What does that have to do with anything? How is that a perush?" How are all those mitzvahs between us and Hashem a commentary on loving another person as you love yourself? Listen to Rashi. Reyacha v'reya avicha al ta'azov, zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem, says Rashi. Al ta'avor al divarav. Don't go against the words of Hashem. Shrei alacha sanu shiavur chavercha al divaracha. You wouldn't like it if somebody asked you to do something and you didn't do it. So too, if Hashem asks you to do something, it's not nice to not listen and not follow what Hashem says. Therefore, it says Rashi, Hashem is also reyacha. Hashem is also your friend. Sometimes we forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our friend. And Rashi comes to remind us that Hashem is your friend, and don't forget that V'hashreich HaKamocha applies there as well. Okay. The next discussion about this Gemara is that it's funny, because what did Hillel do? In that Gemara, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Hillel flipped it, right? The Torah says you should love your friend as you love yourself. Hillel says what? Don't do which is hateful to yourself, to your friend. Why did Hillel make it negative? Why did he make it a negative thing? Hillel essentially said, don't be a jerk. Why didn't he say, you know, be extra nice? Why didn't he say that? Why did he have to make it, as they say in Chazal, Lashon Shlili, a negative inference? Why did he do that? So, if you look at the Targum, Yonasan and Ar Pasek and V'hashreich HaKamocha, he also chooses that language as well. Rashi in Sanhedrin Pei Dalet says, when defining V'hashreich HaKamocha, that the Jewish people are commanded to not do something to another Jew they wouldn't want done to themselves. So we see that maybe Hillel wasn't so off. Maybe the definition of V'hashreich HaKamocha is not to do mean things. Maybe the definition is in the negative. It's not in the positive. So comes the Maharsha in the back of the Gemara, and the Maharsha explains that really, the pshat, the pashup shot in the pasuk of V'yahashreich HaKamocha is based on the first part of the pasuk. We only read half a pasuk. What's the first part of the pasuk that the pasuk is going on? V'yahashreich HaKamocha? Anyone know? The first part of the pasuk is Lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. Don't take revenge on another Jew. And then it says V'yahashreich HaKamocha, telling us to treat other people not badly. Therefore, says the Maharsha, the Torah is telling us, it is in the negative. The definition of Hashracha Mocha isn't being overly loving and going out of your way and being overly nice. The real definition, based on the full context of the pasuk, is don't be not nice to other people. Don't be a jerk. Look at the first part of the pasuk. Don't take revenge. Don't hurt another person. Be Hashracha Mocha. Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically, you're not supposed to be mean back, but you're supposed to love that person.
Ah, so good, so good.
If someone's mean to you, it doesn't mean you have to do anything bad to them. And just,
yeah.
You know, but how do you feel in your heart that you
good.
Love that person?
So the Maharsha says, in its most basic level, this is not Midas Chasidus, this is not, you know, Rav Aryeh Levine, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. In its most basic level, the Torah demands that if somebody does something mean to you, don't be mean back to them. Don't be obnoxious back to that person. That's what the Torah demands. You want to be a very big tzaddik and say, you know, I'm going to be extra nice to them, and I'm going to, you know, invite them to the bar mitzvah, and I'm going to be extra careful with them. Maybe that's certainly a level, but that's not what the Torah demands. The Torah demands don't be not nice back to them. Lashon shlili. It's all in the negative, says the Maharsha.
They also say that, like, to overcome something, so you like overcome it, like.
True, 100%.
You make yourself feel better, so you just do go above and beyond. That doesn't always work.
perhaps, but that's already in the realm of Midas Chasidus. That's in the realm of a higher level. We certainly all can understand at least the level of not being a jerk. Meaning, if the world existed on that level, it would be a better place. Forget being overly nice, and forget going out of our way and doing, you know, tremendous chassadim that they'll tell about and tell us about our levaya and how great tzaddikim we were. But we're talking about the basic. If we would just do that, not be mean to other people, then we would certainly have accomplished a lot. So the Torah says, let's work on that. V'yahashrecha kamocha means don't be obnoxious to other people. This is also the shita of the Maritz Chias as well in the back of the Gemara and the Torah Tamima. And they all note the contradiction, though, in another area. What did Rabbi Akiva tell us? Zeh kal gadol b'Torah. I'm going to tell you another statement of Rabbi Akiva that's going to seemingly fly in the face of this. The Gemara in Bav Metzia Samach Beis records the following machlokas. You are in a desert. It is scorching hot. There is nothing around for miles. Cactus and brush and that's it. And all you have on your person, on your body, you have a singular water bottle. Your friend does not have any water. What do you do with the water? Do you drink all of the water so you can stay alive and make it to the end of the desert, but your friend is probably not going to make it? Or do you split the water bottle with a friend, although it will probably lead to the chance that will not be enough water for either of you, you'll both end up dying? What do you do in such a case?
The first one, you drink it.
Good. So this is a machlokas in the Gemara. One opinion says you should split it, because how could I put my life before another person's life? How could I make that decision? Comes Rabbi Akiva and says, no, chayacha kodman, your life comes first. If you are in the possession, the ability to save your life comes first. And that is how we, in fact, paskin. A person does not allowed to give up their life to save another person. That's not allowed. There are gray areas in issues of suffix. May the person pass, may the person not pass, what's the circumstances? But its most basic level, chayecha kodman, you have to take care of yourself first. Now, how could it be, ask the Mefarshim, that the same Rabbi Akiva who said, v'hashrecha kamocha, also taught us chayecha kodman? If the other person deserves the same that I would give to myself, then how can I now go and then put myself before the other person? And continuing circular logic that will never end, right? I have to go first, but I have to love the person as myself, so therefore I have to go first, right? You can play this game all day. So how can... Pikuach nefesh. True. But v'hashrecha kamocha. Here. That's the issue here. So the answer is, in reality, you cannot love another person in a positive way like you love yourself. It is not feasible that a person can walk around and love another person in a positive way, in a good way, going out of their way, in the same way you love yourself. Just as a human being, we are wired to self-preserve. That's just how we exist. Therefore, say the Mefarshim, it must mean that you shouldn't act actively harm another person. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is not a contradiction if you understand that V'hatrecha kamocha is Lashon Shlili, not in the negative. If V'hatrecha kamocha is just telling us, don't be obnoxious to another person, then it makes sense. Because Rabbi Akiva is not telling us, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, V'hatrecha kamocha means that you have to do everything for yourself, you're going to do for another person. You know, you get a car, so then all your friends get cars, right? You're doing work on your kitchen, so now you have to do work on all your friends' kitchens. That's not what we're saying. If that was the case, how we understood V'hatrecha kamocha, we'd all be in deep trouble. Therefore, it must be, say the Mefarshim, and this includes Rosh Shimon Shkup in his introduction to Shari Yosher, Yochum Fishel Perlau, other Sfarim as well. They all say it must mean, V'hatrecha kamocha means not to be obnoxious. Because if it meant going out of your way to do everything for other people as you do for yourself, that would mean you would have to hand over the water bottle in the desert, and you'd have to run around all day doing chasadim to no end and never taking care of yourself. And that's just not feasible. And therefore, this interpretation is important of V'hatrecha kamocha because it defines the mitzvah. It is not just being overly nice and being exceptionally kind to everyone, but at its most basic level, it is making sure that you are not a jerk and obnoxious to other people around you. There's a story told in the Per Hador, which is the biography of the Chazon Ish in Volume 4, that a young man asked the Chazon Ish if he needs to take time out of his learning to help people who ask him to do chasadim. The guy has 3 siddurim in Beis Medrash, and in the morning this one says, you know, can you help me with my car? In the afternoon this one says, you know, can you help me, you know, go to the store? At night when this one says, I need help, you know, fixing the roof, whatever it is. And the guy's running around doing chasadim all day. Does he have to leave the Beis Medrash all day to go help people doing chesed? So the Chazon Ish answered him that in reality, to acquire Torah, you need seichel, you need to have intellect. You can't learn Torah unless you have, you know, a basic understanding of intellect. And without intellect, you can't acquire Torah. And the zechus, the merit of having seichel, comes through doing chesed. A person's mind is refined, has the merit of becoming more intellectual, more intelligent, through doing chesed. And therefore, it says the Chazon Ish, don't think for a second that going to do chesed will take away from your learning of Torah. Rather, it will enhance your learning of Torah. But then he went on to explain as follows. Now, it doesn't mean you have to leave the Beis Medrash every second, but there are times that a person is allowed or should leave Talmud Torah to go help another person. And then he says, if you are mekayim a mitzvah with your chesed, with your body and money, but you are mevatel the mitzvah when you hurt another person, because the ikar mitzvah is not to harm. That's what the Chazon Ish said. If you go and help another person out, so you fulfilled V'hatrecha kamocha. But when you are not nice to another person, you harm another person, says the Chazon Ish, you are being mevatel, you are negligent in the mitzvah of V'hatrecha kamocha. Right? It's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Mitzvah al kol adam lehovas kol echad v'yachad miyisrael kagufa shenamarecha kamocha lefichach tzarech lesaper b'shivcho. The Rambam says, a positive way is to say nice things about other people. V'lachos al mamono, to be careful about other person's people's money. Kasher huchas al mamon, like you would want it for yourself. Atzma v'rotza b'chod atzma, in the same honor you'd want for yourself. Right? If you like it when people say nice things about you, so then say nice things about other people. Give other people compliments as well. That's how the Rambam views it. Again, there's the negative to not be not nice, but there's also the positive to go and do nice things as well. There's a discussion, does the Rambam fit with the Maharsha or not? That's the Machlokes in the Prima Gadam or not? But we'll move on to something else now. Let's go on to other cases. The Gemara in Bav Metzia Daf Lama Gimel lists precedents in whose property should be looked after first. Right? You find 2 lost objects. You see 2, there was quite a bit of rain on Sunday. So you see floating down the street, your... in a dining room table and your neighbor's dining room table. They're both, you know, streaming down a peninsula, okay? And you see them floating away. Now, you only have the ability to capture 1 dining room table. Whose dining room table do you go and save first?
Your own.
So it would seem your own. It would seem your own. Now, the Gemara then makes different levels. Let's say it's your father's dining room table and your dining room table. Whose do you go after first? And let's say it's your Rebbe's dining room table and your dining room table. Okay, also not so clear. So the Gemara has what to discuss there. So the Gemara asks, where do we know this idea that there's certain precedence and order of looking after another person's property? So the Pasuk says, Efes ki lo yebecha avyon. Because the Torah says, there shouldn't be any poor people amongst you. Now the Pasuk can be understood as a statement that Hashem will ensure there won't be any poverty, but the Gemara learns it as a command. Efes becha ki mevyon. Don't make yourself poor. There's no mitzvah to become poor. No person has to go around and lose their property because of somebody else. There's no mitzvah to put yourself in the poorhouse because you have to take care of somebody else's issues. That's what the Gemara says. Therefore, the Gemara says that your property takes precedence over the property of another person. And then the Gemara qualifies this. Even though this is the halacha, says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, even though this is the Iker Din, says the Gemara, anyone who is so makbid in this halacha that he only always takes care of his stuff and never looks after anybody else's stuff when there is a competition, because he says, my stuff goes first. That's what the halacha says. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person will end up becoming poor. If you're so makbid on the Shulchan Aruch that says, my stuff comes first, I always have to take care of me, I have to take care of my property, look after my house first, and you never ever bend the halacha to take care of other people before you, and Hashem says, I'm going to end up making you poor. Even though that's the Iker Din, you also have to be a normal human being and fulfill V'yahavterecha kamocha. So Rashi on that Gemara says, Yesh l'adam l'kanes l'fnim m'shuras hadim. V'lo l'dadek sh'li kodem. A person needs to act beyond the letter of the law and not put yourself first. Im lo behefsin mochiach. Unless it's not a tremendous loss. V'im tamin medaktik. If you're so medaktik, I'm so careful about my stuff. Porik me'alav agmilas chasadim v'tztaka. V'sof shisarach l'bios. At the end, Hashem says, you don't care about taking care of other people. You're going to need to be taken care of by other people. At the end of the Igros Moshe volume 9, Rav Moshe published 7 volumes in his lifetime. The children published 2 after he passed away. So in the newest one, the 9th volume that came out a number of years ago, so there are Igros Hashkafa. There are letters in Machshava. Rav Moshe wrote letters to people discussing different aspects of Jewish thought, midos, things like that. They are incredibly beautiful. In the 3rd letter, Rav Moshe writes that there are 3 expressions that the Torah uses to describe the Jewish people. We all know them. We are like the sand of the sea. We are like the dust of the earth. And we are like the stars in the heaven. We all know these 3. So says Rav Moshe, what do each of these descriptions mean? So Rav Moshe spends much of the time discussing the description of that we are like the dust of the earth, the dirt of the ground. And he explains that ground, the ground that we walk on, is created for one purpose, and that is to sustain the world. The ground allows us to walk on firm ground. The ground gives forth plants and vegetation and food. The purpose of the ground, if you had to identify ground and dirt and dust in one idea, it is to sustain the world. That is the purpose of the ground that we walk on. Our food comes from the ground. The minerals we need to survive come from the ground. There, so too, says Rav Moshe, every person is not created for themselves, but rather we are created to sustain others. And each individual has to realize that Hashem doesn't want us to only worry about ourselves, but you also have to be like the ground that's there to help the world. We are compared to the dust of the earth, because the Jewish people are supposed to be like the dust of the earth that sustains other people around them. The ground should be our model for how we act, always looking to give and to help other people when possible, whether it's with our hands, our money. And his proof is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Ein ze ratzon Hashem legamrei, ki adam tzarech la'azor la'acherim kama afar. We have to be like the dirt, says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, says Rav Moshe. We need to be like the dirt that goes and gives and gives and gives to help other people. It's true what the letter of the law is, says Rav Moshe, but that's not the way we're supposed to act in reality. There's the letter of the law, and really what Hashem demands of us. And then, we'll return to this later on, says Rav Moshe in another tshuva as well, but we'll get there later. Just like there's a mitzvah of Meiser, to give a tenth of your money to tzedakah. There's also a mitzvah of meiser of time, to give a tenth of your time to help other people, to help the tzibur, to help the klal. There's a mitzvah of meiser in time as well. Literally, to sit with your schedule and to go through and decide how many hours of the day you are involved in different aspects, and are you giving a tenth of your daily activity to aspects of the community and the klal. Rav Moshe says that as a halacha in Hilchos Meiser. We'll get back to that later on. What? It certainly counts for family, but it should also count for, there should also be aspects of beyond the family as well. It should also extend as well. What?
Like cooking dinner and being the dishwasher.
100%. I'm not saying, I'll tell you, I sat on last November, I sat for jury duty. Here in the glorious county of Nassau. And so I sat for jury duty. Baruch, I was very close to getting picked, but through the grace of God, I was redeemed at the last second. But in that process, there was, you're sitting, you go to the courtroom, which doesn't look like anything from Law and Order, and you sit down, and the judge is at the front of the room, and every single time a person would get up to plead their excuse of why they couldn't do jury duty, so the person would say why, and when you eventually get picked to sit in the jury box, and then they would ask you a series of more and more ridiculous questions that I'm sure led to a point. And the questions were always behind with, what do you do? And every single time, the judge was a female judge, every single time, a woman said, or a mother said, that I'm a homemaker, I'm a housewife, the judge would say, most difficult job in the world. Every single time, to the whole room. Every single time. There must have been, 40 or 50 homemakers who were online. The most difficult job in the world. So I am no different, Lahavdil, as well, saying that I'm not taking away from that job, but it's also just good chinuch. It's good chinuch to see that the person extends themselves to help other people out. That a person goes outside the home to expand their ani. Rav Shimon Shkup, in the introduction to Shara Yosha we quoted from before, the main idea of the introduction to this work, which is some of the most famous and difficult lumdus and analytical discussion of the Gemara, the whole point of his introduction to the Shara Yosha is to expand the definition of one's ani. For most people, ani is you and your spouse, your children, maybe your extended family. Says Rav Shimon Shkup, the greatest thing is to extend your ani, your definition of what you are, your personal space, to as far as you can. That's the best thing a person can do. So again, certainly taking care of the family is, as the judge told us, the hardest thing there is. No question about it. But it's also a good idea to expand beyond a little bit. No. Cook, somebody needs a dinner Friday night, somebody had a baby, Nicham Avelim, a project, Tom Cheshavs, whatever it is. It's good to expand a little bit outside that realm. Let's go into some practical examples of where V'Havta Lecha Kamocha comes up in Halacha. So the Rambam in that section, Hilchos Avel, lists a number of ones that we already know. He says mitzvahs aseh, it's a mitzvah of, these are all listing things of V'Havta Lecha Kamocha. Bikur Cholim, Nicham Avelim, involved in Kfuras Hameis, Hachnasas Kala, escorting guests when they leave your home, helping people carry things, burdens, being given Hespedim, he goes a lot back to Kfur again, Simchas Chasen V'Kala, feeding people. The Rambam says these are all Bichlal V'Havta Lecha Kamocha. So that's easy. Those are things that we're familiar with, we're aware of. You go to a wedding, you dance with the Kala, you fulfill the mitzvah of V'Havta Lecha Kamocha, right then and there. The Ksava Kabbalah, see Mecklenburg, so he writes in our Pasuk that a person's love for another person must be Kamocha, as yourself. Meaning, the same midos you would demand or hope that other people would treat you with. And therefore he gives a number of very practical examples. He says, being frank and not hypocritical, being honest with people. Nobody wants to be spoken to in a hypocritical way. So you yourself also should treat other people in the same regard. Treating other people with respect, kindness, letting a person go in front of you online, not honking the horn. I don't know what goes on here in the five towns. It's like a form of communication. It's not used for emergencies. Nobody likes to be honked at. It should be used sparingly. Inquiring about the welfare of people. You're going through a tough time. You feel good when somebody asks, how are things going? How are you feeling? You should do that to other people as well. You would like it when people do that to you, he says. Participating in a person's grief. Caring about another person when they're going through a difficult time. Being cordial and giving him the benefit of the doubt. You see somebody doing the wrong thing, you also want to be given the benefit of the doubt, being down the kafzchus. You should treat people the same as well, to try to see, how could I view that image, that picture that I saw, in a different way? Going out of the way, at least to some extent, on another person's behalf. We would hope that when we need something, people will, you know, push their boundaries, their comfort zone, to help us when we need help. So we ourselves should go and, you know, push a little bit to help people when it's within our extent to help them out. Lending a person an item. Nobody wants to go to somebody's house and say, you know, can I borrow a cup of sugar? And be told, I don't know. So you should as well lend people things when they need it. And this is the sort of behavior. Basic human decency is what is demanded, says the Ksava Kabbalah, when it comes to V'hachrecha Kamocha. The Chavetz Chaim says, certainly, Lashon Hara falls under the aspect of V'hachrecha Kamocha. Nobody likes to be gossiped about. We would probably do much better in the Shmir Salashon if we thought about that before we said that thing about another person. Would you want somebody else saying the same thing about you in confidence? The Yad Ramah writes in Bava Basra, the Isser of damaging another person's property is a violation of V'yahavtecha Kamocha. To hurt another person's property, to hurt another person's land, home, you know, being careful about these things, shul property, all these things as well should be careful under the issue of V'yahavta L'reacha Kamocha. There are certainly a number of issues with waking people up who are sleeping. There is a misconception. We title the act of waking people up who are sleeping, what is the title we give it? Right? Gezel Shena, right? That we're stealing people's sleep. In reality, there's no such thing as Gezel Shena. It's impossible, because Gezela or Geneva means that you have taken something you can return. It's actually worse. It's worse than Geneva. It's worse than Gezela to wake up a sleeping person. It's mazik. It's damaging another person, because they can't get back the sleep that you took from them. So there's a discussion which Isurim are violated when you wake another person up. But Rav Yaakov Bloy writes in the Pisrei Choshen, in Hilchos Geneva, he says, "V'gam over mishum v'yahafta l'reacha kamocha." You come into the house and you slam the door and you wake somebody up. V'yahafta l'reacha kamocha. We're in the period of Elul now. There's a famous story told about Rabbi Saul Salanter, that he told the Talmidim, you have to be very careful when you go to daven slichos earlier in the morning, not to wake people up in the house. Not to wake up the household. What type of a slichos is that? You're going to ask Hashem for forgiveness and the whole house is up because you're clanging for the keys and you're turned on the car and the alarm went off and everything's making noise. What type of a slichos is that? You would not want to be woken up. You have to be so careful. Don't go into the room if the person's sleeping. Do you need that item right now? Or can you wait and get it another time? It applies to children as well who are sleeping. Unless, of course, they need to be somewhere. But if a child is sleeping, you shouldn't wake them up. Unless, of course, there's a responsibility. If they need to be at davening then, you're allowed to wake them up for davening. Yeah?
If you snore and it wakes your
spouse. I hear. So then...
Is that like not on purpose, though?
So then, I don't want to implicate anybody, but... there are methods that people can correct their snoring, and therefore the spouse should, you know, discuss with the spouse the best way to correct apnea and sleeping issues and things like that. If their snoring is, I guess, keeping you up, then I guess you can give them a shove, if whatever is necessary. In the Yalkut Yosef, so the sons of Rav Yosef write that a person needs to be care that when they build the sukkah, not to wake other people up at night. Even when you're building the sukkah, you're so careful, and Motzi Yom Kippur, you go out there to build the sukkah, or even, you know, you come home from work, all you have time to do is to build the sukkah at night. You got to be careful, banging away, making noise with the lights on, hammering away, making all that noise in your backyard. Children are trying to sleep, people are trying to sleep. That's not an excuse. Just because you need to build a sukkah doesn't mean you can ruin other people's sleep and violate V'yahavta L'reacha Kamocha as well. Okay, next, the Gemara in Kedushin says, the Gemara says in Kedushin, and Daf Bem Aleph, Sur Asur La'adzim Shikadesh Yisa'ish Ad Shirena. It's Asur for a person to marry his wife or the spouse until you see the person first. Why? Shema Yira Ba'davar Maguna V'tiskana Lav. Because perhaps, after the marriage has been completed, they will see something physically about the other person that they are not attracted to. V'rachman Ana Amar. And Rachmana, and the merciful one in the Torah says, V'yahavta l'recha kamocha. That a person needs to know up front beforehand needs to see the person they're going to marry, because that's a lack of v'hafshecha kamocha to say, oh, I don't want to be married to the person anymore because I'm not physically attracted anymore to that person. Therefore, you need to check those things out beforehand. This is cited by the Gemara. Rashi uses this as a point on that Gemara to say that's why we don't marry, we shouldn't marry with a shliach, with a messenger. You shouldn't send a messenger to Mekadesh, the spouse, because you have to see the person first. So this comes up in other areas. Number of questions. The Gemara of Abasra and Rashi on Avram and Sarah. And Avram and Sarah go down to Mitzrayim. So Avram says to Sarah, "Ki isha yifas mareh at," that I see that you're a beautiful woman. So what does Rashi say on that? Until that point, he didn't know how beautiful his wife was. So the Mefarshim are a little confused. How could that be? The Marsha asked in our Gemara in Kedushin, how could that be? Doesn't the Gemara say, v'hafrecha kamocha, you have to see your spouse in order to be attracted to them? So how could Avram have married Sarah and not known that she was beautiful, not know how she looked? So he says that when they were married, he noticed her beauty. But over this, she was now 65 years old, and she was much older, and now he noticed that even at such an age, she was still so beautiful. Meaning, he married her knowing how beautiful she was, and even later on in life, he'd struck him at a certain point how beautiful his wife was, even later on. The Paris Yosef writes on the Pasuk, he says that v'hafshecha kamocha in this form is a derabanan. Is a derabanan, and Avram didn't have to keep a derabanan, and therefore that's why it wasn't a problem. But that's not the sugya for right now. There's another Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos Nun Gimel says there was an incident involving a man who married a one-armed woman. A woman who had one arm. And he didn't realize that she was one-armed until the day she died. The whole time they were married, he had no idea that she had one arm. So the Gemara then makes two statements. It praises the wife for being so tsanua that the husband never realized that she had one arm. And it praises the husband for being so tsanua that he never realized the wife only had one arm. So the Yaakov Emden sees from here that a person who's extremely modest can marry someone without seeing them. If they're very, very tsanua, then we'll have a hetzer for such a person. But these are just examples of how it fits into that Gemara. The Sefer Hasidim writes that if you embarrass someone, and even if nobody else hears about it, and nobody else knows about it, it is a violation of v'haftarecha kamocha. That's clear from what we've learned already. There's a great story in the Sefer Vayaleu Lo Yibol, which is a collection of ideas and thoughts and halachas from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The Sefer was published without the family's permission, and the family doesn't like the Sefer, but it's a great Sefer anyway. So the guy asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he noticed that when Rosh Shlomo Zalman went to the mikvah, he would take a shower beforehand and a shower afterwards. The minhag is that, al pi Kabbalah, is that when a man goes to the mikvah, you know, you want the waters of the mikvah to stay with you, so you shouldn't shower afterwards. So he asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman, why do you take a shower before and after? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, I shower beforehand in order to fulfill the mitzvah of v'hafshecha kamocha, because other people are going to use the mikvah as well. And I shower afterwards because some people aren't so careful about v'hafshecha kamocha. And that's why I shower before and after. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Tefila, Kishishomea she'osin mishaberach le'echad. When you hear a mishaberach in shul, nachon la'anos amen, it's proper to answer amen. Uvezem mekayim mitzvahs v'hafshecha kamocha. You fulfill the mitzvah of v'hafshecha kamocha when you answer amen to someone's mishaberach. Don't you want them to answer the mishaberach as well? Wouldn't you want them to answer mishaberach when a mishaberach is said for a chola and you're davening for that chola? You don't want your friend talking in the back of shul, you know, paying attention to somebody else. You also want them to daven, answer amen for the mishaberach for your chola when you're davening. Wouldn't you want it that if your son was fighting in Tzal, that you'd want people to answer mishaberach to the tefillah for Chayilei Tzal? Wouldn't you want them to answer amen? So you should also pay attention to the mishaberach for Chayilei Tzal and make sure you answer amen as well. You would want the same thing for yourself as well, and therefore says the Aruch HaShulchan, make sure you answer amen to those mishaberachs in shul. The Chafetz Chaim in Avas Chesed writes that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that Eli HaKohen, who was the Rebbe of Shmuel HaNavi, was cursed. His family had a curse on it. They wouldn't live long lives. So the Gemara tells in Rosh Hashanah that Rav and Abaye both descended from the family of Eli HaKohen. And they differed in their approach to how they taught Torah and did Chesed. Rava dedicated himself totally to Talmud Torah and assumed that if people needed him for a Chesed, they would come and get him. That's it with his approach. I'll learn all day, and if they need me for something, they'll come and ask me. Abaye disagreed. Abaye dedicated a lot of his time to doing chesed while also learning Torah. And he reasoned that because of his skills, his enthusiasm for chesed, he had ability to do chesed in a nice way. He had to go become involved and to help people out, even though other people could be able to do the task just as well. Rava lived for 40 years, lived till he was 40. Abaye lived till he was 60. Essentially breaking the curse on the family of Eli HaKohen. Says the Chafetz Chaim, "B'pshitus dama shebital Torah de esek hazman shegminas chasadim," because he was a mevatel Torah to go be involved in chesed, hosifu lo kedei shelo yachzor mitoraso. They added on to his life, so he shouldn't take away from his Torah. Because Abaye thought, maybe if I take away from my learning, I'm not going to grow. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him an extra 20 years so he'd be able to go and grow in his Limud HaTorah. The Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvos has an introduction called the Pesuchei Chosam. He says, a person should never think that if they go and do a chesed, it's going to take away from their ruchnius, their growth in Yiras Hashem, from their Torah. Hashem pays back every ounce of chesed with an equal amount of Yiras Shemayim. No one should ever think they're going to lose out by going to do chesed and being mashpi on other people and to make the world a better place as well. I just want to end with two comments. The first is another tshuva from Moshe. This is in the tshuvas in Eben Ezer, in Chelek Dalid, in the end of Simen Chav Vav. So Rav Moshe quotes a sheet of the Chassam Sofer he finds very difficult. The Chassam Sofer says that when we said before that Chayecha Kodmim, your life comes first before anybody else, so that's only in aspects of Olam Hazeh, physical things. But when it comes to spiritual things, says the Chassam Sofer, another person's Torah comes before your Torah. Your Torah in Olam Haba has to be put aside to help other people learn Torah and succeed. So Rav Moshe has an issue with this. He doesn't like it so much. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes says that it's important to teach yourself Torah before you teach your children Torah, because you have to know for yourself before you can teach others. And he has an issue with it. But then he writes, Achoreisi, I paskin, Shekol Tamachacham, Av Shetzarech La'atzmo, Vugodam Ha'od, every person who knows Torah has to spend time to learn Torah with other people. Rav Pareda learned with a Talmud until he understood the sugya 400 times. We have all sat with kids and struggled over a pasuk in Chumash for Chumash homework. Rav Pareda sat with a Talmud 400 times till he understood the halacha properly. So he brings Rav Preda, Af Shebizman Hazeh, and even nowadays, Hayayoser Tov Im Loved La'atzmo. It certainly might be better to learn for yourself. A person needs to take care of themselves spiritually. Vailo Schar Gadol Haya Dal Meo Shana, V'Kol Doro Hevi Bizchus Hazeh. He had such a tremendous chus on the generation, he says. And he goes on to say, Linyan Mitzvah, Imhu v'chaveru tzrichin l'kai mitzvah v'yafshar el l'echad, v'adai shim yitein l'chaveru yavar l'aseh. So Rav Moshe says that it's certainly good to help other people out, but you have to take care of yourself. And then he repeats the directive here, that he thinks it's the responsibility of every person to spend 10% of their time helping other people out, teaching Torah in a way to give a schus to other people. They can also grow in Torah and mitzvah. So it's important as well. A mitzvah of Havdalah Kamocha is to get involved, to teach other people Torah. There are things like Partners in Torah. There are so many organizations you go and teach and to extend the Torah you have to other people. Let's just end with the advice of the Baal HaTanya, who writes in Perek Lamed Beis in the Tanya, how does one access the area of what does a person do? How does a person need to think to get to such a level? Listen to what he writes. He says, "Harezu derech yishara v'kala lavoli day kiyam mitzvah v'yahavta chakamocha." I'm going to tell you the fast track to get to v'yahavta chakamocha. L'chol nefesh miYisrael l'migdol v'yad katan ki mi'acher shegufo nimas umetuav etzlo v'hanefesh haruach miyodeh gedulasa malasan. He says, if we stop looking at our bodies as physical people, and we focus on each person as a neshama, we would all realize that we are all one neshama. Our nefashos, our neshamas are intertwined. We're all connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if we would view all of the people in the world, the people we come across, as people, as intertwined neshamos, all coming back to one source of Hashem, then we would love another person as we love ourselves. Because we wouldn't see the difference between two people. We wouldn't see the difference between another person and ourselves, because we would all see that it's all the same. It's all the same neshama coming back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. U'mekoran belokim chayim. The source of everybody in this room goes back to Hashem. B'shagam shekula matimos v'av echad l'kulanu. We all have one father. We're all called brothers, mamish. We're brothers because we all share the same neshama. We just happen to be divided into different bodies. So we should all be benched with the ability to have fulfilled the mitzvah of Haftarah Chachamocha in our lives, in every aspect where we learn and teach, and to extend proper midos wherever we go.